Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello, soldiers. This is our Hoovering Christmas special. How lovely. And my guest is none other than one of my oldest dear friends. It's only national treasure, Sarah Pascoe. She's let me hoover with her on one of her precious days off between touring her Success Story show and hosting beautiful television things. Exciting, isn't it? All this wonderment. Before we get hoovering, I just wanted to thank you for listening. As ever, you're the absolute tits you are for listening to this. If you have a fun time, which I know you will, why not tell some other toads about the podcast? I'd love that. 5-star reviews and subscribing to it don't hurt either, to be honest, so feel free to also go for it on those fronts. Can you also make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter? We're going to be asking you to tell us all about your eating things. And even if you want to just drop us a line anywhere, you can now email us thehooveringpod@gmail.com. And you can text or WhatsApp voice note me too. Our number is 07462855271. The Hoovering Podcast is partly funded by hope, partly by dreams, and partly by ads. My favourite way in which it's partly funded, and it's the best way, and that is by Patreon. You now, if you're my patron, get absolutely loads of fucking brilliant stuff. Even if you've only got £2 a month to chuck in, you'll get a bunch of exclusive content, discount tickets, loads of extra stuff. Check it out. patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Next, it brings me joy to invite you, please, to come and see Wench now that the sellout tour has finished at London's Soho Theatre from the 11th to the 14th of January, where it's had an extended run after packing out the massive Leicester Square Theatre in the autumn. Also, I'm doing a work in progress and a Hoovering Live on the 17th and 18th of February at the Leicester Comedy Festival. They will be so fun. They always are. Tickets are available for all those things via my website, jessicafostercue.com. Okay, Hoover time. Christmassy Hoover time, no less. With Sarah Pascoe, no less. I know. Aren't we lucky? I went over to Sarah's house for this, so we're also joined by her doggy Mouse and by her human baby, both of whom really joined in. There will be no getting away from that. Not that we want to, but what can I say? Boys are loud, aren't they? And as we'll discover, they gain in confidence and attention-gaining tactics as the record goes on. Oh, I loved it. I'm sure you will too. Tell me about your favourite thing about Christmas, eating-wise, favourite item maybe. Yeah. And have you ever experienced any Christmas eating disasters?
Yeah, so my favourite Christmas item, probably like lots of people, is roast potatoes.
Oh, yes!
So what I love about Christmas roast potatoes is the plentifulness of them. That it's not like, oh, I had potatoes for dinner, and they're gone.
Yeah. That's his favourite part of
the Christmas. But what I love is that there's potatoes all the time.
Yeah.
Still there, in the pan. Breakfast, just you're walking past the kitchen, shove a potato in your mouth.
Yeah, pop a little potato in.
Yeah.
I think I spent my childhood naively thinking they wouldn't still be nice when it's cold, but they absolutely are, aren't they? Nice, yeah. Sort of permanently nice.
Well,
yeah.
And you've got some guy
and
lemon and herbs.
Pardon? Yes, good one.
And mouse is in the background, just jealously crying.
Have you ever had to do a Christmas dinner?
Yes.
Have you? What's yes. that like? It's quite. I consider that to be the domain only of a proper grown up.
It's just timing.
Right. Oh.
So all you have to think about, I would say, and this is probably wrong, but let me say it anyway. People who are the kind who say I'm bad at maths,
yeah,
will flummox with the roast dinner because they're right. Actually just separated the timings. You think all these things need to go in the oven and they should all go in, and that's how you do it wrong.
Right.
Something that's too dry and something that's overcooked, or
yeah.
things that you can't keep warm for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So it does need just, not even prep, just the mental thing of, I know I want to cook that now, but I'm not going to put it in until half an hour before.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's so true.
I put broccoli on at the same time as the roast.
Yeah, and that takes, it's less time, isn't it? I remember taking the mickey out of an ex's aunt, who we'd have Christmas at sometimes, because she had it was sort of on the wall, like a very detailed spreadsheet, but things had to happen, like every 2 minutes a different thing happened, and everyone was mobilised like an army, a big family like an army. And actually, I think that's kind of ingenious. I might give that to you to hold.
Seven minutes time, dinner's going to be on the table. Can someone put the knives and forks down? You need to wash your hands or do it now. Because they know this is when everything will sort of become perfect all at once. Yeah, it's... Mouse is now having his Christmas dinner.
Yes, his Christmas dinner. Yes, this is lovely.
So, but Christmas disasters. Bone. Christmas disasters.
Yeah.
My mum's a terrible cook. Really terrible. And obviously, when you're a child, you can't choose your parents.
I love the idea that when you're older, you can.
When you're older, you can just go to a restaurant and say, "You're my daddy now." So my mum likes to microwave. And so my mum would microwave bags of vegetables. That would just be her normal dinner through the year. But at Christmas, that was microwave Brussels sprouts, which make the house smell of farts. I don't eat meat, but my mum doesn't eat meat. My other sister Cheryl doesn't eat meat, but my sister Christina only eats meat. So there's a Christmas dinner where my mum has to cook 4 or 5 pounds of meat. Did you not know that?
Only eats meat. I know she's married a butcher, I didn't realise that she only like an actual dinosaur that's a carnivore and would get ill if she had a vegetable.
Yeah, she uses diabetes as an excuse for that. As in like, oh, I can't have too many carbohydrates and sugars.
Yeah.
And so my mum, because it's a diabetic reason, rather than saying just have some Linda McCartney sausages like the rest of us, will do her
five meats. A tadurken or whatever they're called.
Because Christina won't eat turkey. That's the one thing she won't eat. All of the other meats.
This has turned into the best Christmas nightmare I've ever had.
Yeah. So, and Christina just moans. So, like, my mum will make mashed potato. Yeah, it's fine. It's not great.
Yes.
She hasn't put any butter in there. She's not put any salt in there.
Oh, no.
You know when people talk about food being made with love? There's also food made with obligation and hatred. Which I think is very true for lots of mums.
Yes, so true.
And it's like, you messy, greedy gannets turning back up in my house on the 24th of December, eating me up house and home and fucking off about the whole nuts. My mum really... That is her inner monologue while half mashing some potatoes. So that's a lumpy. It's me that says, I'm not eating these, they're lumpy. You know, mum's having a drunk cry. That kind of
So actually, the idea of you cooking it, no wonder you've just gone, well, it's just timings. Because actually, compared to enduring,
I've
during that.
Also, because I really like vegetables,
yeah.
I took my favourite parts of lots of other roast dinners I've had and combined them. So, like, Delicious Liella does some really lovely sort of slow roasted tomatoes, stuffed mushrooms with pine nuts on the top, yeah. And then I really like red cabbage, which takes ages.
Oh, I love that. Do you mean with all like, where it's all like sweet and vinegary and
My husband, Steen, is half Greek and makes the most incredible roast potatoes. When I say like, incredible, I say like, it's a 3-hour thing. Like, just leave them alone.
I've had them once before here. And I've thought about them ever since that day. Well, I don't think I've ever had a potato like it since.
Every time he makes them.
Have you had them,
Fredo? I think, yeah. There's definitely another year of this marriage. Yeah. Survive another year just off another set of potatoes. And I really like that it's like his domain.
Yeah, what's and the roasting?
And he isn't one of those people who then needs to sort of helicopter cook on everything else.
Oh, great.
He'll let me do other stuff myself.
Love it. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I do feel like Christmas is a time where people get like away with more foibles. Do you know what I mean? And people like your mum, I think, absolutely right to feel a bit resentful sometimes of that. My stepdad. Yeah. On Christmas Day, even though my mum makes, I think, objectively some of the nicest red cabbage I've ever had, is allowed on Christmas Day to demand that he gets his own pre-made one by M&S in a packet that he microwaves just for him as that goes on.
Because he likes that one better. Have you heard Carl Donnelly's story about when his parents, they bought all of the things that M&S were now making them a big vegan, vegetarian Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that, and he's got an amazing bit of stand-up about it, hasn't he?
Yeah,
I was just thinking about that, and at the end of it, the meal, he's like brightly like, it's actually really rude. Yeah. He braves saying it's so rude to have brought a ready meal when we've cooked for you, and in the end, he went, "Will you at least try the vegetables?" And didn't his dad say, "I don't like vegan vegetables"?
You've got Christmas all to come.
And it's going to be, is it going to be your first? Yeah, of course, yeah, 8 months old.
That
is oh my crumbs, what a great time to have a Christmas. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You can so nice before they really know what a present is, so you don't have to get them anything.
No, it's not about presents, it's more like introducing, like, he'll be able to taste something a bit gingerbready, maybe. At the moment, he loves easy peelers, or, tangerines, and they're so in season and delicious. And he sort of cheers when you get one out to peel it.
Yes! They are so yummy, aren't they?
And you just think, that's it, that's all we need for Christmas this year, some tangerines.
That's a lovely... Yeah, I've got a friend who calls those Fruit of Christmas.
Yeah,
they are. I want to talk about eating during pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Did how you wanted to eat change?
There's two sides to this.
Yeah.
The first time, eating wasn't about... Eating didn't have a background in a voice of, should you be having that? Are you allowed that? Have you learned that with exercise?
Yeah.
What will you feel like if your trousers are tight tomorrow?
Yeah, because you'd have to give up trousers anyway.
Trousers in the bin. And it's all of a sudden eating was health, eating was my baby's health.
Yeah.
And if you were hungry, the baby's hungry. If you needed dessert, you needed dessert. You're growing another human, etc., etc. What I didn't expect to happen after pregnancy is to feel like, all of a sudden the baby's not there. And you're just really fat. And you're going, I did have a lot of dessert.
It's so liberating, isn't it? I think I had a very similar experience there where I suddenly thought, oh God. I remember being like comfortably naked in public changing rooms and stuff when I was going swimming and thinking, I don't care. And then thinking, well, that's me cured actually. And then afterwards being like, oh no, I very much hits you like a train, that sort of body insecurity again afterwards.
I've always struggled with like many people, being on TV, there's a visibility. And so something like sucking my tummy in while doing stand-up on TV, for instance, but why would I suck my tummy in? I'm 3 months pregnant, even though the audience doesn't know that, even the people who are tweeting me I'm fat don't know that. I know that, and it's fine. But then, the second the baby's out, being like, oh shit, it's like I'm a pencil case or something.
They took all the pencils out.
And it's just like, literally within a day, you go from being like, this is all for the baby, to like, Oh no,
it turns out.
Maybe forgot to take a bit of fat with them.
Sorry.
Did you find some chocolates?
Should we try one?
Oh, yeah.
So these are. The reason I chose these, they're called Pure Heavenly, is because they won a Dragon's Den, and I thought that was fun. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And they're like, well, they're dairy-free, gluten-free, under 1% sugar, palm oil-free, soy-free and nut-free, so I cannot imagine they're going to be nice. Sorry. Well, there's different flavors. They are very thin, probably are very thin, like us, after we've eaten only these. There's one flavour called Silk. Don't believe there's any silk in that.
It's the silkiest, smoothest, the most delicious milk chocolate alternative that is free from dairy, soy, gluten, nuts, palm oil, and has less than 1% sugar. So that must be a small subsection.
What is left to go in it? What is left to go in it?
Cocoa.
And hazelnut. We could have hazelnut, orange. What do you want to try? There is a coconut flavour one, which can get fucked in my eyes, I'm afraid.
Chicory fibre. Everyone always loves a bit of chicory.
Oh, I can't wait to have a luxurious, decadent taste of chicory fibre. Yeah, me too. I'm going to try hazelnut.
Hazelnut?
What are you going for?
Smells good. Salted caramel.
Oh, I'm having a sniff. Oh, it does smell good, actually. It smells of It smells of Christmas coffees from a chain coffee shop.
Yeah, it does, like the syrup.
Yeah, it smells of a syrups. Can't wait to sniff this hazelnut. Yeah. Oh.
What's your smell like?
Yeah, have a sniff. Mine smells a bit more serious.
Oh, that smells like dark chocolate.
Yeah.
It smells like vegan chocolate, actually.
Yeah, it smells like vegan chocolate. But I still also want this to be delicious. Okay. Ooh. Mm. Oh, I like the size of, the oblong piece.
Beardor's tasting some too. Mmm. You like it?
Mmm. Oh, that's really nice. Mmm. Oh my god, hazelnut's lush.
I'd say the caramel one's really nice.
Oh my god. Well, Dragon's Den, turns out it's dragons. Quite clever, actually.
It's really
first reggae sauce, and now this.
It's really, really edible.
Mmm. This is the absolute worst compliment a food has ever had.
Oh, there's lots of vegan foods which I would not put in that category.
Okay, it is really, really edible. Oh, this is wholesome. Yeah. This is pure heavenly.
Oh, you're waving.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to try.
Do you like your vegan chocolate? Do you like your vegan chocolate, Baba? Mm. Yeah, you did.
Mmm.
Oh,
yum. Mmm. Mm. That is nice.
It was like a milk chocolate caramac or something.
Mm.
Very chocolatey. I now like they have in there, because you don't need a full one of those.
I also think, no, they're very sweet. Hi, Coco.
Cocoa beans are always very satisfying. Mmm. Like, some chocolate.
Yeah, and I think you can tell when I think the only thing that I miss is actually the sugar. Like, I think you can taste sweetener. It tastes almost a bit dusty sweetener compared to sugar. Are you having a drink? You're being a very good boy, Mouse. Okay, well, while we're in the zone, let's try a Chococo one. So this is a chocolate company down in Swanage, where I'm from, in Dorset. And it was set up by this amazing couple that travelled around, and it's all sort of fair trade, etc., etc. Yeah. And they make it all there. And this is their vegan festive collection. Oh, so lovely. The options are
beautiful.
Oh, they are pretty. Tangerine Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Let's have a Tangerine Dream.
Do you want the Tangerine Dream?
Yeah.
For sale. That's that one. I'm going to pass you it. Do you mind me just touching it?
You're so like a man, Theodore, talking over when the women are talking. Hello.
Wriggling all over the women.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks good. Okay. Spiced rum gem, chili tickle caramel I want to try. Oh, roasted almond. I'm going to try a chili tickle.
Tell me about it.
You're a chili caramel tickle.
Mm, the tangerine one's really good.
Okay. Mmm. Oh, God, so is that. Oh, yes.
These are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, these are staying here. There's a bit of prune and fig involved, but I suppose they've done that because of Christmas. Yeah.
Well, tangerine is so Christmassy.
Mm. Oh, I've just eaten my whole one. You've left a bit there for other people to share. No. I've got a mouthful of chili caramel tickle. You're the funniest boy.
Is it
the butter? He is. He's changing the questions, and I like it. I love to see it. Does he like eating? He likes eating. He's had sausages.
He loves eating.
Yep, big fan.
And it was really great because we had, we keep having these hopes of him sleeping better. And one of them once he's fuller, he'll stop for milk.
That's like such a classic.
And it's not true.
No, he wakes up and goes, could have some more milk actually if I wake up more often.
I can drink all my milk at night, drink food all day. very tall, big boy.
Yeah.
And also sometimes then actually you get stomachache, I think, or trapped wind, and there's all the other things that come from eating, especially new things.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's...
Yeah.
But he does love eating it. And also, it's exciting, isn't it? Discovering food and tastes is just absolutely brilliant, even if you have to clean your entire kitchen. And I was thinking today, when he was on his third outfit,
it would be...
It's that's so the true. Room, literally from lovely upwards. It's soaked down through everything.
He's also, Rudy was a dribbler as well. He's a dribbler, isn't he?
Yeah.
Big punter.
Oh, his teeth are coming through at once.
Oh, bless him. Yeah. Oh, at least when it's over, it'll be over. And then you can eat more things. Mm. More things. Crunchy things.
They all recommend that the babies should be able to pick up things and enjoy textures and...
Mm-hmm. That baby-led weaning.
Yeah. Are you into that? It's so lovely to be able to put some little bits of cucumber and a raspberry and a bit of sliced banana all on his tray. And then watch it and go, oh, this is how we should eat all the time. Because on our phone, shoving stuff down our throats.
It's so true. Not experiencing a new taste for the first time and be like, oh, wow.
For half an hour.
Yeah, it's the very definition of like mindful eating, isn't it? Exactly, I suppose. Watching a baby go for it for the first time. I like the idea that he claps a satsuma.
Do you know what? He now, this is good, terrible parenting. Steam's parents came over and bought us loads and loads of cakes.
Okay.
You know when people leave and you go, I can't eat 12 donuts, I feel bad about food waste. And a lot of them had like one bite out of them, like a snip, and someone wanted to try it. So I put them all in the freezer and see, it was working for them.
Yeah.
Just sucking on like, and so cinnamon bun was really, really loved the cinnamon bun. Today he had sort of like bread with sort of swirled chocolate through it.
Oh, yes, that sounds amazing.
So, and he'll just sit there and suck on the corners of it really happily.
Such a lovely wiggly worm. I remember the first time Rudy tried chocolate, it being like amazing. It was like watching a nature documentary. Mm-hmm. He went, like, it took him a few seconds to register what was going on, like a good 30 seconds. And then he like looked like, I mean, basically like he's coming up.
Yeah.
But then he like went purple and then like, like ran for the first time.
Yeah.
And then like,
yeah,
yeah, it was like a psychotic break, I'll be honest. It wasn't great.
The other day, Leap 6, this isn't a food-related one, but we went to the park to see ducks, and I said, quack, quack, said the duck, quack, quack. And he was realising the stuff we talk about at home exists in the world.
What?
And was looking at me like, the ducks from the books. These are the ducks.
Are these the famous ducks?
These are the ducks we've been talking about at home. And
the ducks.
And it's like that Proustian, like the world becomes 3D today.
Yeah, so, yeah, amazing.
Tasting chocolate and going, oh my God, the world contains this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I thought I knew all the tastes.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Was there ever been any foods that you used to hate that now you love?
Yeah, things like olives.
Oh, really?
That I would have sworn, a swarm would never have liked them.
I wonder what happens.
Your taste buds die.
Yeah.
No, it does. You have lots more taste buds when you're a child.
They develop and then you just die.
They die, yeah, there's less of them. Your tongue's a big graveyard of dead taste buds. And then you start to go like, oh, delicious. Whereas when you're a child, you're like, overwhelming flavour. Too much.
Oh, God, I'm a bit worried that Ruby already likes olives. Does that mean he's been born with a dead tongue?
No, I think that's a sign of children who are able to taste lots of things early. Mm. I had a very not middle-class upbringing, so it was like university, putting one in my mouth and then being like, oh, my God, I can't spit it out. I'll just have a sunset of it in my mouth. It just didn't taste like food.
I think there's something that I fully understand why anyone wouldn't like.
Yeah.
Somebody described them to me once as the devil's grape.
Yeah.
But I like a devil's grape.
Yeah. Oh, no, and now I really do, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Aubergine, I hated. Mushrooms and tomatoes, I hated. There's loads of vegetables that I did not like for years. And I think probably it was veganism and learning to cook properly. I start to like them much, much more.
Oh, I love it.
Do you think there's anything that demands to be eaten in a ritualistic way? Like you've got to do it in a certain order or fast or slow or anything like that? Yeah.
I think if you've had a hard day, and I know some people don't drink, but maybe they replace it with food.
Yeah.
That thing where you like, or come home or after a gig or I don't know if you want to. Yeah. There's something depressing about going, oh, I had a great gig to hundreds of people. Here's my hot noodle. I think there's something about going, okay, here's my treat for the thing. And I'm going to savour it, enjoy it, because it is a treat.
Yeah.
And that's different to it's calories of exercise treat.
Oh,
it's
not
allowed in that way. It's like, I'm going to enjoy the pleasure of this completely to myself for pleasure.
Yeah, I think there's... it's really funny. I think for my background with eating, I have to, like... I feel very aware of, like, post-gig. That's a really weird time for me with eating, because it's a time I associate with, like... I think using eating to emotionally numb, which is not great.
Yeah.
But equally, like, I'm really noticing on tour, I think I'm so far past those years, thank God, for now, where I think, oh, no, it's not hunger, but it is, like, a joyful adrenaline. It's like, I really want something sweet. It does feel like a blood sugar craving. It's like, I actually, I'm quite savoury-toothed, generally, but post-gig this tour, I'm like, yeah, I want... That little, I want like a bite of a Snickers or something like that.
If I was staying in Iceland, at Hotel de Van, I would
Lovely.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I would want a hot chocolate. But it was definitely about the, my body has released adrenaline, cortisol, now knows it's in a safe place and wants to sort of self-soothe.
Yeah.
But that isn't the emotional eating. It's a separate kind of thing.
It's a hunger. It's a type of hunger. I think all of those things come under hunger. It's just such a...
And maybe it is the visceral thing, it's being back in your body again, rather than in your head performing on a sort of skating above yourself slightly. You do actually want to get back into, like, I like having baths.
Yeah.
And I like a treat.
Yeah. Has anyone's behaviour ever, when it comes to eating, put you off them as a person? Or made you fall in love?
Obviously, people who are great cooks, people who introduce you to new foods. I remember once standing outside a newsagent when Josie Long had seen some Chiron fruit, which I'd never heard of, not eaten.
Yeah.
And she just went, oh, I've never had this fruit before, and went in to spoke to them. And it was like a corner store in Hackney. And then she went in and talked to the shopkeeper about how to chop it open, came out and went, let's learn how many eat these fruits. And I thought, right, when you live like that, the world is, there are wonders are possible.
Yeah.
For under 90p.
What a great way to live, Josie Long.
And that's how you can have that attitude to food. Even, and I don't want to sound like a Tory, but like on a budget. Like
you can
I've never had that fruit. Shall we try that fruit tonight? Yeah. I thought this sounds really nice. But there are, so I love that attitude. What I don't like is people commenting what you're eating.
Okay, it's really interesting. Yeah. Is that. It's a specific reason for why you hate that.
So I think because I have to eat with people from work, say documentaries or long filming jobs. And actually, I noticed it again during pregnancy because it gave people allowed. People would even say, "Oh, go on, you're eating for two." And I would think, "I mean, I don't need your permission, your encouragement." And like, so it's allowed now, but otherwise, I'm not allowed to have some
cheddars, mini
cheddars. Whatever, yeah. Or seconds or whatever,
We have a snack table on our train bin. I used to go and look at it a lot. But what happens is people sometimes come and go, who is over here looking at the snack table?
No, thank you.
Yeah. It's like, I'm interested in the snacks. I can't eat a lot of them because a lot of them have got, you know, milk and stuff in there. But I just like to look. It's an array of chocolate bars.
Yeah.
And you just think, it's like, oh, look. They've got Starburst today. That's what I think, but anyway.
It's a buffet. It's a miniature buffet. Of course you want to look at it. I'd be there every 5 minutes.
I've had things in other jobs where people have gone, oh, well, you shouldn't have that. Or just things when I've just got, when you actually aren't hungry and people think you aren't being hungry performers,
haven't they?
Or you're a woman, full stop.
Well, they think you're not in charge of your own, or they know better. It's such a personal thing to comment on that someone should or shouldn't eat something. I feel like that keeps coming up in these conversations at the moment. I feel like a lot more of us have kind of grown up to the point where we're... Yeah, good chatting, Theodore. We are a bit more confident as we grow up about saying no and about saying yes, and actually that having that autonomy and having that, taking that power and being like, yeah, I know what I'm doing here. I'm enjoying the anticipation of maybe choosing one of these things to eat. Don't need to see it. You even noticing it is like feels intrusive.
So I take food with me quite often. It's not because I'm dieting. It's because I don't want to go out for a meal after work and not get any sleep.
Yeah.
And especially with a Theodore with me. Yes. So a cup of soup in my room wasn't depressing and me denying myself. It was literally going, I'm going to eat a massive breakfast in the morning. I need to sleep.
It's escape from a social situation that still also counts as work, frankly.
But then sometimes that's a negotiation.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going out to dinner. That kind of thing. So it doesn't mean we dislike people. It's just, I think you're right. I think it's because historically we all had to deal with someone commenting. And it doesn't happen. And then when it does, you really go, oh, why do I hate this so much?
Yeah. I'm just going to interrupt myself at this point to say I need to doff my cap in a way that I never have to this extent before to producer Laura for editing this episode into something that we can all enjoy listening to, because here is a taste, and this is dialed down, of some harmonious singing from Sarah's human son and dog son, both at some points together. Listen to this.
Yeah. Like, why is he gone silent? Now his voice found his voice again.
You're a funny boy.
Mouse is like, I'm loud too. I'm loud too.
Yeah, you're welcome that we managed to cut out all of that. Right, back into the chat.
Quick fire questions.
Worst thing you've ever found in something that you're eating?
Okay, obviously hairs are quite bad. Oh, a spider in a salad. I mean, and that's 1999, but I never forgot that that's where spiders might be. It was a long leggy one, like a not fat, not like those really scary house spiders, but like the ones with tiny bodies but very long folded up legs. Okay. Yeah, he was in there.
5 second rule, yes or no?
Yeah, fine. And also longer.
And longer, good, lovely. Hangover, what are you having?
Oh, fizzy drinks. Lots of toast.
Yes, lovely. Yeah.
Crisps and crisps, salt and vinegar crisps. Whole pack of Pringles. Some fruit juice towards later in the day. Maybe some green tea before a gig, like low-level caffeine.
What's the spiciest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, paprika. No, not a spicy gal.
Really, not spicy. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Now it's time for the big end question. Triangles arise as the new main shape, and they're more powerful than anyone could ever have dreamed. Anyone who isn't a triangle, so all humans, start getting exiled to a space prison where the air is made of impulse true love body mist, which is initially lovely but sadly unbreathably deadly. So it's a sickly apocalypse. But luckily triangles have agreed to casually go back to being one of many shapes living in harmony, but only if you, and it does have to be you, Sarah, actually agree to build the biggest pyramid in the world all by yourself with no modern tools, all with no breaks, all whilst repeating the tongue twister, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood, so that you've never got any time for snacks. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero.
Yeah.
Your reward is the adoration of all people for all time for saving us from the triangle-based apocalypse.
Yeah.
But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Now, it's the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier.
You know they don't do last meals anymore on death row.
Oh, you know stuff about death row.
So do you not? So a couple of years ago, a man on death row ordered a really, really, really like Michelin starred meal, and they didn't eat it, and they were so angry they took away last meals.
I mean, the punishment of killing him straight afterwards is probably enough. That's why also, they took away last meals.
Yeah, because they were like, we went to all that trouble. And the guy, he didn't even eat it. Yeah, they took it away.
He might have been quite in an altered mental state where he wasn't feeling
Or thought he wanted it. Yeah. And then, you know, in the moment, you think, yeah.
But, even if it was just
it was interpreted as spite.
Yeah.
Like, he put them to loads of, like, difficulty. But yeah, they don't do it anymore, apparently. But I get a delicious last meal. It's a first meal. I mean, that would be a roast dinner, actually.
Yeah,
it would be
if you were starving and over the moon.
Yeah. But also, really just if you had a choice.
Yeah.
That's just the best dinner, and it is a time-consuming dinner. And if someone else is making it for you to give to you, that's how lucky, how lovely. It's all your food groups.
Yeah, and I guess you could have it made by the same Michelin chef didn't get his.
No, I wouldn't, because a Michelin starred chef would be like, oh, here's your cabbage, and it would be like a wisp of foam, and then they'd have done silly stuff.
The essence of cabbage. Yes.
I want actual dinner.
Oh, yeah.
If they made like a liquid, what is it called when they like puree something and put it through a spout? And that's how they were like, oh, here's your potatoes, and it'll be custardy or something, and they'd be runny.
Custard.
No,
they want potatoes and custard.
No. If there was a dew of gravy, I'd be fuming. Yeah. I want a jug of gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pint of gravy.
Yeah.
God, I really love gravy. Anyway, great answer. Thank you. Hoovering
Podcast. It doesn't get much lovelier than that, does it? You don't need me to tell you to follow Sarah Pascoe on social media. She's the most famousest person in the planet. But just in case, it's at sarah.pascoe on Instagram and all the rest. And hopefully you've already got tickets to see her on tour, right? Good, because she is on tour all through the spring with her show Success Story. And just like everything else she touches, it's fucking brilliant. By the way, do you mind all having a lovely Christmas or whatever other wintry holiday you celebrate? Thank you. Message us all the magical stuff you've eaten, and I'd love to hear any eating disasters too of yours, please, Christmassy ones. Come and see Wench at Soho Theatre. Tickets will also hopefully be available to see Wench being filmed somewhere in the spring too. Come and see Hoovering live at the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 18th of February, where I'm also doing a work in progress the night before on the 17th as well. Come. Tickets to everything, as ever, are on my website, jessicafosterkey.com. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fosterkew. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fosterkew. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.